Our title this morning, Faith, Transforming Today Forever. Perhaps just think about that for a moment. What does that mean? Faith, transforming today forever. 20 years ago, when you were anxious about that thing that you were anxious about 20 years ago, do you remember that day? What was that day called? It was called today. 20 years' time, when you'll be facing that situation, whatever it will be, because you don't know, because you haven't got there yet, but in 20 years' time, on that day when you'll be facing that situation, what will that day be called? It'll be called today. And faith transforms today forever. And I know Val made reference to eternity when she was speaking earlier on. Let's have a look at John chapter 20 together. A guy very similar to ourselves. His name was Thomas. He was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. He had not been with the other disciples when Jesus appeared to them after he rose from the dead. So the other disciples told Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, unless. Just think about that word, unless. What is your unless? What is the thing that you are saying to God or about God? Unless. What are you waiting to happen before you believe? Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. What is your unless? And why will you not believe for this situation or that situation? A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them this time. And even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Are you longing for peace? Who do you think out of those 12 needed most to hear those words, "Peace be with you"? This was a week after Thomas had said, "Unless." Who do you think had been living without peace for those last 7 days? Who do you think had been desperately hoping and yet also doubting? And now there was the dilemma of even losing faith. Could he be open and honest and say, "Well, perhaps you guys are telling the truth, but I just don't know"? Then Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." I wonder if God is speaking to us this morning. Is he speaking to any of you this morning saying, "Stop doubting and believe"? What is that situation? What is your unless? That's what we said, yeah? What is your unless? Is God saying, "Stop doubting and believe"? And then Thomas said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Thomas didn't say, "Now at last I do believe." He demonstrated his belief by making the Lord and God of the universe his own personal Lord and God. He said, "My Lord and my God." He said it as it is. He told the truth because Jesus is Lord and God. But at that point, he made Jesus his own Lord and God. Do you get that? If any of you are struggling with unbelief, make Jesus your Lord and God. Stop saying unless. Stop living without the peace of God. Call him my Lord and my God. That's why in this church we make a thing of, you know, people making a public confession of faith. That's why we want to know. If you've put your faith in Jesus, come and tell us. Let us know. That's why we do the baptism thing. Because it's a way of demonstrating, I believe. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And throughout history, those words have been echoing. And Jesus has been talking to every situation and every location and every era since those words were spoken. And today he's speaking to Great Holland's Free Church in the year 2017. Blessed are you who have not seen if you believe. And then the passage ends by saying, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these things are written. Why? Why was the Gospel of John written? These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Jesus is inviting us this morning, believe and have life. We're talking this morning about faith, transforming today forever. One of the blessings of being the leader of a church in this beautiful cathedral, I just love all the stained glass windows we have around. I wonder, do you come in here every week and go out? How often do you actually stop and look at these beautiful stained glass windows and the characters they depict from the Bible? Don't you just love the one up there of Abel and Enoch? Don't you love the window depicting Enoch? And Abraham and Noah. Don't you love the stained glass windows in our church? And Sarah, dear Sarah, not you, I'm sorry, I mean you are dear, but no, Sarah on the stained glass window, you know. Abraham and Jacob and Joseph. Would you like the inspiration? Would you like to take home the sort of inspiration for the stained glass windows we have in our beautiful cathedral? We haven't produced a little pamphlet. I know other cathedrals have done that, you know, tell you about the windows. But, you know, actually, our pamphlet is called, what is it called? Hebrews chapter 11. Have a look at Hebrews chapter 11 with me, please. These beautiful stained glass windows that talk about faith. Faith transforming today forever. Faith. Hebrews 11. Verse 1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. I wonder how many of you had your grandchildren calling you ancient, or even your own children calling you ancient. Isn't that a lovely phrase, the ancients? The people from long ago, they were commended. What for? For faith. Faith transforming today forever. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice. Worship is one of the sacrifices we offer to Jesus today. And you can't worship God without faith. Ask God for faith. Even for faith like a tiny, tiny seed, that'll do. Ask God to give you faith so that you can worship him as Abel did. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Ask God to give you faith. Faith that will transform today forever. I love this verse that says, you know, the very basis of faith, we've got to believe that he exists. Isn't that weird? Right in the middle of a whole theological discussion, actually, do you know what, guys? Get back to basics. Believe that God exists. Pray for faith. Does God exist generally? Does God exist even in my situation today? Is God going to exist in 20 years' time, in 40 years' time, in 60 years' time? By faith, Noah, when warned about things not seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Noah had the faith to go against the flow. Isn't that right? When everyone else was doing their own thing, Noah built a boat in a dry place because God called him to. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Faith to obey. Why don't we pray to God, ask him to give us faith to obey his calling when he tells us to go. By faith, Abraham made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. You see, Abraham had faith to live like a foreigner on earth. Why don't we ask God to give us faith to live like a foreigner on earth? Because this place isn't really our home. Not really, not forever. You see, Abraham was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And even Sarah, you remember I said her window's up there, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was unable to bear children because she considered him faithful who made the promise. And so from this one man, and he, let's be honest, as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people, well, they were still living by faith when they died. And in fact, they did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. I've already said it, but I'll say it again. Let's pray to God to give us faith to live as foreigners on earth. Let's ask God to give us faith to wake us up that this is not our eternal home, not here. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of a country they had left, they would have opportunity to return. You just get the logic in this. It's so easy to understand, yeah? Instead, they were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. My friends, we're talking about faith transforming today, forever. Do you get it? By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Let's pray to God to give us faith to give him what we hold most dear. that boy Isaac, Abraham's dear son. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through your son Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Let's pray to God to give us faith to obey God for the big picture, even when the small details don't kind of make sense. Think about it. Abraham saying, "How can God's promise to me come true if I then sacrifice the very one through whom the promise will come true?" Let's pray to God. Let's say, "God, give me faith. Faith that transforms today forever." By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. This guy, Joseph, had faith to see God's plan for the future. Prophetically, to talk about the Exodus, he didn't know all the details, but he had faith to see, faith to believe. By faith, Moses' parents hid Moses for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Don't you love Moses' parents who had faith to protect the precious gift that God had given them? And the faith of his parents affected Moses too, even though Moses probably didn't sit around the family meal table very often, because you remember he was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter and had a relative looking after him as a nursemaid. But it says here, Moses, when he had grown up in Pharaoh's household, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Faith transforming today forever. Moses had faith to pay the price, faith to face the consequences. Verse 25, he chose to be ill-treated along with the people of Israel rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Let's ask God to give us faith that will transform today forever. Let's ask God to give us faith like he gave to Moses, that will help us to get our priorities right. Is it the treasures of Egypt we want? Or is it the eternal reward? By faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, Moses passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. My friends, we're reading about this in the New Testament because Paul is explaining the stained glass windows to us, right? But all of this, you can read about it in the Old Testament as it actually happened. But God, through Paul writing to Hebrews, is looking back saying, "Guys, Great Holland's Free Church, learn from the ancients, these people who lived before you." By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? Maybe you look at me and say, Mark, yeah, what more are you going to say? You've said enough already. But it's not me that's saying those words. It's the writer to the Hebrews saying, even in the whole Bible, I'm running out of space. What more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, but I am pleased to say that we've got them on our windows up here. Yeah, oh yes. And about David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength. My friends, faith transforming today, forever. Do you want your weakness to be turned into strength? Ask Jesus for faith. Who became powerful in battle, routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and ill-treated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. I'm probably judging you too harshly. I'm sure some of you have come in this building before, this beautiful cathedral, and looked at the stained glass windows. I'm sure some of you have looked at them and pondered and said, I wonder, what are they up there for? What are the stained glass windows up there for? And the answer is in the notes, the next chapter of Hebrews. What are they there for? Starts with that word, yeah? There for. They are there for us. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. What are all the stained glass windows there for? They are there for us to encourage us with these three words you see on the screen here. Throw off, run, fix. Throw off, run, fix. Throw off everything that hinders. What things do we need to throw off? Throw off the sin that so easily entangles. Because you see, these guys that you see in these stained glass windows, week in, week out, they'd learnt to throw off. They'd learnt to run. They'd learnt to fix. Because they had faith, transforming today, forever. Throw off, run, fix. Can I just close by looking at 1 Peter chapter 1? Verse 3 says this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, in all of this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Is there anyone here who never feels grief or trials? I don't think so. This applies to us. These griefs, these trials, they have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined in fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And we get back now to Thomas. In this passage, verse 8, we get back to the idea of Thomas. The idea that Jesus said to Thomas. Remember when Jesus said, you've seen and you've believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And that theme is taken up here in this 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. My friends, we've been talking this morning about faith transforming today forever. Father God, we pray, would you give us this faith that we need. Lord, we've been looking at these beautiful stained glass windows this morning, these beautiful people who live by faith. They didn't always get it right all the time, but they had faith transforming today forever. Lord, help us, I pray, to embrace faith. And Lord, there were people in the Bible who had faith, and yet they still ask questions. Moses said, who am I? Who am I? The Apostle Paul wrestled with that question. A man who was seeking healing in the Bible said, Lord, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Lord, give us faith. And give us the humility, the humbleness, to say, Jesus, I do believe, but please help me overcome my unbelief. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.